You're listening to the AI Ireland podcast. My name is Mark Kelly, the founder of AI Ireland. If you're new to the podcast, AI Ireland's mission is to accelerate the use of AI for the benefit of our society, our competitiveness, and everyone living in Ireland. To achieve this, we run projects of national interest, most notably the Artificial Intelligence Awards, which are occurring on the 23rd of November 2022. We wanted to contribute to a culture of sharing, cooperation, action in the Irish AI ecosystem. I'd like to say a special thank you to our sponsors and principal sponsor, Microsoft, for their continued support for the Artificial Intelligence Award. Hope you enjoyed the show today. And if you have any recommendations for future guests, please reach out to mark@aiawards.ie. Now on to the show. Hello, everybody. You are listening to the AI Ireland podcast, and we are coming up to the 28th of September. And I'm very, very happy to welcome Eamon Kenny to the podcast. And Eamon is a senior research fellow at the ADAPT Centre, the one and only senior research fellow. Eamon, great to have you on the show today.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
Eamon, tell us a little bit about your background and your journey to now, and then we can jump into the world of UniCook.
Yeah, I started in pure mathematics at Trinity College. I've been there a long time now. And I've jumped around to different areas, like over to the engineering department. I did a PhD over there and then came back to computer science, and I've worked with CERN in Switzerland for 9 years. And now I'm working in the ADAPT Centre for the last 9 years on a mixture of different problems like multimodal technologies, but incorporating some of the other thematic areas of the centre now. So it's always interesting working with the ADAPT Centre, because there's so many different thematic areas that you can touch into, and there's never a dull day there.
I say it was a cool experience living in Switzerland for 9 years as well before ADAPT, was it?
No, I didn't actually live there. We actually traveled across once a month from Trinity College, and we kind of partnered with them. We basically gave them some free work in a sense. We built their software on lots of other platforms that they weren't even kind of considering doing it on, but it opened doors for them and for us, and eventually they brought us into their projects and then paid us on their projects because they were so impressed and made me the porting coordinator for all of their software stack within CERN for the Large Hadron Collider, for the development of it on other platforms, and writing the roadmap documents and stuff like that. So it's very interesting.
I'm guessing you didn't think it'd last 9 years, did you?
No. And every day just flew along. It was absolutely, you'd be just head down, just dealing with 30 to 70 engineers and computer scientists from all over Europe. So it was, and trying to coordinate them and trying to fix problems in their code everywhere, you know. So it was very interesting few years. It was very busy, but it was just nonstop.
I can't pronounce the gentleman's name, but I believe a book was written by us about flow, just having that flow and this kind of day kind of breezing by where you're just kind of getting stuff done and you're feeling like you're making impact, and it's a really nice place to be.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work for a few years. They were building up a continuous test and development center and a software to do that. And then, you know, eventually one day we had it working on PlayStations, their software, and we were able to run some chemistry software on it that was doing ligand bonding. So, you know, that was really nice results, and we got a press release out of that, and they really liked that you're able to run it on another platform, and that kind of opens up new areas for them, because the whole idea of grid computing, it was the precursor to cloud computing. And, you know, they're really trying to put themselves on the map, I think, at the time with that whole software stack that they're building. It's still, you know, look back at it now, it's just very advanced what they were doing at the time, you know.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to see that how it just came before cloud computing. So UniCook, tell us a little bit about us. I got to know us from your application for the AI Awards this year. I'd love to hear a little bit more about how the research came about.
Yeah, it's amazing because I was working in the multimodal strand of research, a thematic area within the App Center. But I was working on a project, kind of flagship demo project for Science Foundation Ireland, that was looking at bits of natural language processing and curation. And then you'd see what's going on in the ethical side of things and data curation. Then I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if we had a type of app for cooking that would be able to make a language agnostic version of a cookbook? So basically the idea will be that you create a storyboard of your recipe, but transform it on the fly, completely automated, and then be able to serve that up to someone. So our first example of someone, we had an Indian guy working in the lab, and he said, "This will be brilliant because my mother lives back in India. She can't speak any English." And he had a great recipe that was an Irish recipe, and he wanted to send it back to her. But he said, "What if I could just transform it into a pictorial version of the recipe, send it to her, and then she could look at it in pictorial form? She would know all the spices and everything that she would need to use just by looking at it. And then she could have some sort of locale set up on it so that she hover over the images and then it would show it in her language." So that was where the idea was born from.
Hosted by AI Ireland, the fourth annual AI Awards is taking place on Wednesday, the 23rd of November at the Gibson Hotel. This is a morning through an afternoon event where you have the opportunity to connect with some of the finest minds and organizations in the Irish artificial intelligence community. The AI Awards moves beyond a traditional awards ceremony and empowers all participants by connecting a highly innovative Irish AI community in a focused, fun yet professional setting. AI Awards welcomes data scientists and their teams to partake as a contestant or delegates in this essential AI focused event. Reach out and connect with a broader community and make crucial connections leading to new opportunities in a fast-moving field. This year we've got 12 categories across 4 nominees per category, so it's 48 finalists. So over on the day there'll be action-packed opportunity to see case studies of real AI in action. Please feel free to reach out to Mark at AI Awards for more details, or go on to eventbrite.ie/AI Awards for tickets. I can see so many different people licking their lips now, thinking the opportunities from all these kind of dishes from all around the world that they can get access to. Why is it a challenging problem to work on?
Because there's a lot of different parts to it. You know, you have to be able to look at a recipe, extract all the ingredients and methodology out automatically, which is using natural language processing. Then you have to do transformation, kind of one-to-one mappings to images that you would need. And it's not actually one-to-one even. There's a large variety of mappings you need there. So chili, for instance, we've just discovered, it's amazing what you learn about food. You know, the proper spelling of chili is C-H-I-L-E, and that's singular. And then with add an I instead of an E is chili with one L and one I, which is plural. And then we have kind of the European version of it, which is double L I. So you have to be able to, you know, it's not trivial from a natural language processing perspective, even the problem. So that's just one simple example of where things could go wrong. You know, someone uses a different spelling or a misspelling. Those issues you have to deal with. And then you have to be able to map that to the correct or what we accept as the correct European spelling of it, and then the image transformation. You're dealing with basically, do we want to collect a large series of images, or do we want to get professional photographers to do that, or do we want to take some Creative Commons type images that exist out in the wild already that we can reuse? So there's a lot we can actually do that way, even that we've discovered. We can take images that are fully free for reuse, and then we can transform them on the fly automatically with machine learning, for instance.
So if you're mapping this out, I'm guessing it kind of gets kind of messy very quickly, almost kind of like spaghetti bolognese in terms of all the possible avenues that you could go down. And then you've got the image transfer and you've got all these different decisions to make. I'm sure there's quite a bit of debate.
What's interesting about it from the point of view of a startup, we actually realized that there's a pipeline that we can go through. We can look for the particular parts of the recipe in any unstructured text. That's the first machine learning part. Then we can look for all the entities inside that we want to discover. Then how they're all related to one another is really important to figure out. So that's the third AI. And then the actual image transformation, if we wanted to get, for instance, we haven't done this yet, but one thing we will want to do is get rid of all the words around images. So the numbers, I should say, the amounts. So we'd like to be able to generate multiple, say, tomatoes, for instance. Instead of one tomato, you'd have an image of one tomato and then use adversarial neural networks to create multiple copies of it. You know, so it gives you a visual, full visual representation of the ingredients, for instance. And then a whole personalization thing at the end of the life cycle to do with how people can use this for elite sports management, for nutrition, for if you have specific dietary needs, you know, related to what you eat on a daily basis. So, you know, there's a lot to it. There's a lot in the pipeline, but what's very interesting is that the first two pieces of AI on their own solves the whole issue of automatic transfer of recipes into shopping trolleys. So immediately we can solve that problem with the first two pieces of AI that we've produced. So we'd be able to build a buoyant startup company with that alone, because it's really rock solid. The machine learning is using state of the art machine learning. The performance is well beyond the state of the art in the research that you find, because the guy we have working with us who's doing the AI is absolutely fantastic. He's just, I would say he's on genius level, you know. So we have a very good team in place and working on this. So it's, you know, it's we were able to build a demo for a well-known supermarket that I can't mention in here in Ireland. And we were able to build that demo in 2 weeks to show them that it actually would work, even though we didn't know what their products strictly were in their shop. We were able to map to the images in their shop without actually knowing, by kind of doing a live trawl of the internet and get the images and even their product numbers. And they were sufficiently impressed that they said, this is something we need.
I love the way you can get the demo in a couple of weeks and then suddenly you're talking about case studies, use cases, and they can see a use for it as well. And when you talk about elite sports, the dietary needs, I can quickly start to think of three or four other applications for this. And you're using groundbreaking AI to embed the success. And you know, who knows, you add a few more models in the future and suddenly you can open different avenues. So you've got NLP, you've got image in there as well. So you've kind of got a variety of different things happening at any one time. Tell us a little bit about kind of sort of future prospects. I know it's kind of sensitive, so you can't really delve too much into it, but where do you kind of see this going? Or maybe if I flip the question, where do you see that shopping experience going for people?
I think a lot of people are going to want to go to these dark shops or go to online shopping, you know. So there, this idea of I have 5-7 recipes a week that are going to be my go-to recipes for this week coming. They don't have to be the same recipes that you use every week. You just drop them quickly into a shopping basket, so you're planning ahead. And then you order them, and then eventually they'll be delivered to your door, you know. So it will cut out a lot of the supermarkets, or the supermarkets to get in on this quickly will be able to utilize this. So the kind of big point about this, which we didn't realize when we started, we had no clue about this particular topic, was the whole thing of sustainability. And one of someone came to us and said, if it was a country, the wastage of food, it would be the third biggest country in the world for the wastage of food, the amount of food waste that is lost to people having food that rots or goes off or isn't eaten in a household. So the big thing there is that this ties in with sustainability immediately, because you know, you buy for the recipes that you want to cook. So if you have 4 in the household, 2 in the household, you scale up to the amount you want, and then you just buy for what you want.
It's such an important point, because sometimes you can get into the habit of thinking about your objective, results, impact. But now successful businesses are putting that right at the foundation about everything that they do. And this has a really, really positive impact on that as well. You've been speaking and listening to Mark Kelly and Eamon Kenny. Eamon is a senior research fellow at the Adapt Center, and he's been sharing his work with Unicook and some of the work that they've been doing, which is such an exciting area. We talked a little bit about from the humble beginnings of a pictorial version of a recipe that was sent from a gentleman living in here from India, sent to his mum, the opportunity to leverage NLP and image to provide so many different opportunities for case studies, from dietary needs to elite sports, and how Eamon and his team were able to get a demo within a few weeks to present to a supermarket. And they were saying how this could be applied to what they do and add value to their end customer. Really excited to see how this goes in the coming months and year, Eamon. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Mark. Really enjoyed the interview.
Membership of AI Ireland placed your organisation at the centre of the fastest growing technology sector in the world today. As a member, you'll have access to a diverse and highly engaged professional community, which is committed to driving artificial intelligence forward in Ireland. Membership of AI Ireland is for any organisation, including data and analytics. We offer memberships to corporate, government and SME organisations. Interested to find out more? Contact Mark at AIAwards.ie.